And I think as you're getting ready to take a hike or a trek, it's always important to know where is it you're heading and to be clear about why you want to go there, because that can make it a little easier to find your way. So you all mentioned briefly why it is that you're wanting to become a massage therapist. But I'd like to take a couple minutes to actually talk about, well, what does it mean to be a professional massage therapist? And the way that feels easiest for me to get into here is to be thinking about massages that you have received in the past. In particular, massages from professional massage therapists, but they could be from anyone. And I'd like you to think about, what is it about those massages that made you feel good, solid, nourished, relieved, de-stressed, whatever language you would use? What was it about those massages that made a difference for you? And I'm just going to be taking some notes as you're calling out some information about what was it that made the massage feel like it was a great massage for you.
They were not rushing the interaction, holding time and space.
So there was something about the pace that felt like it was a good match for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honest dialogue, charging the client, see if this is too much.
So they were engaging with you in questions that were particularly designed to make the massage more perfect for you. And so they were personalizing that session. Yeah.
Oh, it was the same.
It was a similar kind of thing, yeah.
I would say connection. The one I'm thinking of in particular, he does a lot of positional release, and he was just emotionally there, but also physically connected the entire time. So it feels safe, feel his energy. You're never left floating, kind of hanging.
What else? Yeah.
To add on to sort of the same thought, I think it makes a difference where the massage therapist focuses. So, like, what they're thinking about and, like, the conversation you're having with them, I think that can make a difference.
So there was a way in which you could tell that they were focused on what they were doing in the moment. They weren't thinking about what they needed to do later that day. They were present with you in that moment. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
I say a quality of touch.
Can, like, you say more about what that means?
For me, like, I can tell if someone's Reiki attuned or not. So I can see if they're just going through the motions of just massaging, in addition to, like, an additional energy source that's present.
What else?
When a massage therapist gave me a voice saying, let me know if you don't want something done, or if you want more or less pressure.
And so they really empowered you to have this be your massage,
mm-hmm.
and to, again, personalize it for what you need. What else? Yeah.
For me, it was like knowledge and familiarity with the body.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so just someone who's not experienced with massage, having a massage, kind of gives you more of an awareness of your own muscles and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that they already know, but you know, sort of thing. And so you kind of feeling that in the same time, it's very educational.
So I like that word. So it feels like you were kind of learning about your own self, your own physical body as they were working, and that not only was useful for you, but what I'm hearing you say underneath there is that their familiarity with the body, their knowledge of the body, also made it possible for you to actually learn.
Right.
You could be present because there was a sense of safety, like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and it just provided me a new sense of awareness on my muscles, I guess.
Yeah.
value that they brought, you know, they knew that they could focus on what really needed to be helped, and they knew that eventually they could fully help you.
So there was a focus and there was a sense of positivity that they could actually help make a difference. What else? Yeah.
Their space, so however it's set up, keeping it safe and clean, like depending on if they have windows, you know, are there drapes? I always appreciate it when there's like a clear space for me to set my stuff aside. Also, like a little bit of hospitality, so offering water or tea, just little things like that.
So it was welcoming in some kind of way, like you were expected.
Yes.
There's room for you here to put your things. We expect you to be showing up. Yeah.
Also reading the vibe, like I know some people don't want to talk during the massage and some do, so it's nice when they can understand like you don't want to talk during.
Not only reading but also respecting. The vibe. Anything else we want to add? Yeah.
They offer some grounding, but also no judgment when you're not grounded.
I always forget if judgment has an E in it or not.
Yes.
It does?
I think so, yeah.
I started writing it and then that looked wrong, but then if I changed it, it probably would have looked wrong the other way too. Anything else we want to add to this list of what was it that contributed to this massage session feeling like somehow it hit the spot for you? Yeah.
I would say being conscious of someone's modesty. So knowing, like, you know, making them feel safe if they want to be covered and just giving them that respect.
Things that feels interesting to me whenever I do this kind of exercise with people is that the things that show up, these all make sense to me. They're all so important. And they're all really, if I had to put them under kind of one kind of category, I would say that it's really client-centered. I'm respecting the client's vibe. I'm energetically present. I'm emotionally present. I'm focused. There's a connection. I'm personalizing it in general. The pace is personalized to them. You know, all of this, I'm grounding. I'm not judging them. I'm welcoming them. There's positivity. All of that is really about centering this experience on the client and what it is that the client needs. The thing that I always find interesting when we do this list is what's not up on this list. So does anyone recognize a really big thing that's not up on this list? Yeah.
I don't know if we're on the same mode at all, but we don't have passion up there, like passion for what you're doing.
That's interesting. I would add that on here as another thing.
Boundaries.
Boundaries are on here. So in some ways, I'm going to put that word up here because it feels like it's an important word for us to be thinking about. But we've kind of been talking about it a little bit already, respecting modesty and respecting and reading their vibe and having a clear physical space for them. Those are about boundaries. Anything else that people see that's not up here? Yeah.
This is kind of general, but like professionalism.
Okay, so I'm going to put professionalism up here because I feel like this might be another way of naming all of these things, that when I'm professional, I am going to have a familiarity with the body, and I am going to personalize the session to be emotionally present and connected, and it might be another kind of bigger picture category of client-centered and professional.
I think something that's interesting that's not up there, because I'm so focused on it as a practitioner, is there's a sense of wanting to make them better and having them walk out better and almost fixing them. Mm-hmm. And no one has said, well, I felt better after the massage, or I felt fixed. So that's not necessarily an expectation, though as a provider, I have a sense of needing to have that happen during the session.
And so is it okay if I change fix to help?
Sure.
Yeah. Because fixing, I actually have no control over
right.
whether or not your
exactly.
body is going to be fixed, or what does fixed
right.
even mean.
Right.
But I can be helping you, I can be supporting you, I can be supporting your body. The thing that is always interesting to me that I don't see on lists regularly is technique. None of you mentioned the thing that made it really hit the spot was that they did this particular technique or that particular technique. And I find that fascinating. Does anybody else find that fascinating? What have you come here to learn? Technique.
I didn't even think about it. I got a massage from somebody who grew up in a village in Thailand, and his technique was bread and butter to his skeletal muscle and muscular system. And all he did was technique, he was talking to it. So I think it depends on the context. If you grow up and you're doing massage as you grow up,
yeah.
It's part of who you are, and a lot of us grow up with physical touch.
Yeah. The reason that I find this so interesting is that the things that we remember about the massage tend not to be the techniques. They tend to be all of this, the interaction, the way that our therapist was present with us. Yeah, it's helpful if they did a particular thing that brought us relief, but we tend not to be focused on the techniques themselves, right? And it feels important for me to name that as we're getting ready to start this program where you're going to be learning techniques. Because the techniques are important. If you're not doing techniques well, I can guarantee you that your client is going to remember you. Because it felt uncomfortable, or it felt invasive, or it hurt, or it felt ineffective. So I'm not saying that technique is not important. I think technique is critically important. But what I think is that it's not the thing that stands out in people's brains when they think about what made the massage so useful. And it feels important for me to mention that at the beginning of the program, because often once we get here and we start learning techniques, our focus can be so heavily on technique. And am I doing this technique correctly? That matters. Because if we do it incorrectly, we might actually hurt the person, or it might not be effective. But all of this value of being client-centered and aware and engaged with what's happening with our client emotionally and energetically, providing a safe space, providing clear boundaries, that's actually the thing that is most critical. I have been to massage therapists who were really great with technical skills, and they had lousy this, and I did not go back to them, because I feel like I need to be someone who's being seen as an individual and being worked with as a human being, not just a body on the table that's getting technical treatment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I've worked with other people who've been really skilled in this area, and the technique may not have been as solid. And I've gotten a lot of massages, and I've been teaching massage for a long time. I know what good technique is. I know when people's technique is a little bit sloppy or not very skilled. And you know what? That piece can kind of fade away, as long as they aren't hurting me.
that piece will kind of fade away, because there's something about receiving touch in and of itself that can feel healing and grounding, even if the technique isn't 100% there. So as we're looking at where it is that we're going, I want us to be paying attention to, we need technique for sure, and you're definitely going to be learning that when you're here, but all of this is in some ways just as, or maybe even more important than the technique itself. When I think about massage, when I think about the technique being critical, that blue one still doesn't work. I don't know why I pulled that up again. And I think about the relationship. And there's another piece that's critical for us and got alluded to with familiarity of the body and knowledge of the body. A science. That it's in the overlap of understanding what's going on in the body and having solid technique and having solid interpersonal skills, solid relationship skills. This place right here, that's kind of the peak of the mountaintop for me, where the best massages are going to happen. When someone really knows what they're doing, technically, they understand why they're doing it, why they're choosing that particular technique for my particular condition based on what's going on in the body, and they've got the relationship piece as well. So when you're in the program here, we're going to be constantly going back and forth, working between all of these. First term technique is your foundations of massage course. First term science is your kinesiology course, where you're going to be starting to learn where are the muscles, where are the origins and insertions, what are the actions of those muscles, what do they actually do, so that you can make decisions about where to work and why. And the relationships piece, you're going to be going over that in the therapeutic relationships course. And I feel like what we're doing in the throughout the program overall is kind of constantly moving between all of these and gradually getting ourselves to this area right here, and this is where in your final term you're going to be in clinic, or when you're as a massage therapist in clinical practice. We want to have the blending of all of those. So questions about that big picture? So some of you are coming in here, we're all headed up to this mountain peak. Some of you are coming in here with solid relationship and interpersonal communication skills already. And so if I think about this being one mountain or one face of a mountain to kind of get up here, you're already pretty far up here. But you're not so solid on the science and you're not so solid on the technique. Others of you may be really solid on the science and technique, it's going to be easy for you. But you're feeling a little bit less comfortable here or here. We're all going to be in here together and working with each other. And this is where the image for me of being on a hike with each other is really useful. Because if this piece is really easy for me, but this piece is a little more challenging, I may need to rely on someone for whom it's a little bit easier, to have them give me a hand and help pull me up a little bit. Still is my responsibility to get to the top of the mountain here to be doing this work. But I'm going to be relying on my team, the people that I'm here with, to maybe give me some study skill ideas, or maybe give me some really honest, although maybe difficult, feedback about my technique. Hey, your nails too long. You got to cut them. You're scratching me. Or this is uncomfortable, but I need to tell you that actually when you're working on me, I can really smell your body odor. And you need to do something about that. So those might be uncomfortable conversations, but those are all the kind of things that we need to be willing to do with each other to help all of us get to this mountain peak with each other. The other piece that I think about with doing this work or being in school is just literally being in school itself. And so if you go to the very back of your folder on the right-hand side, there is this little thing. Being in school is hard. Learning is hard. Does not matter how many times you've been in school before. That process of learning new information is challenging to our brains because we're having to either let go of some things and replace them with new things, or we're having to integrate completely new information. And that could be completely new physical kinesthetic information, or that could be new knowledge that my brain just can't understand or hold on to. Wait, how do the lungs work again? And why do I need to know that as a massage therapist? We're going to constantly be challenged. One thing that I know that is true for human beings is that when we are in stressful situations, we will often revert back to prior times when we were in a similar situation and will try to approach that new stressful situation in the same way that we did in the past. And one of the ways that this shows up for many people is when you go home to visit your family of origin, to visit your parents, you can often regress back to kind of sibling rivalry or expectations that mom is going to make the food for everyone all the time. You know, we can just revert back. The same thing that can happen when we're in a school setting. The first time that you're faced with, I've got to do this studying for this class, and I've also got to get this homework in, and I've got to do this reading, and it doesn't make sense, and on top of that, I'm dealing with my job and my family and my commute, and I'm not sure what's happening here and what's happening there. It can be really easy to kind of fall back into, I can't believe the teacher gave us so much homework. It's not fair. But I want to go out this weekend. I want to go out tonight. But I have to do this stupid assignment. And I want to name that because when that happens, if that happens for you, that's normal. And then we want to be conscious of it to decide, is that the choice? Do we still want to go down that path? Or do we want to look at, I've actually made the choice to be on this path because there's something that I want to achieve for myself. And as I'm on that path, what tools am I going to need to have in order to be able to successfully make it to that place where I can be doing effective clinical practice? In our work with students, we find that these are the tools that you are generally going to need to have in order to be successful in school. I want to just go through them briefly so that you can, I can know for sure that you understand what these things are. So time management, accurately estimating how long tasks will take so that you can be figuring out how much time you need to set aside for studying or reading or for doing your homework. Organizational skills, there's going to be a whole lot of paperwork to keep track of. That's just going to be true. And keeping track of what you need to do where. Money management. You got to pay the bills at home. You also have to pay for tuition. You might have to pay for books, or maybe you can figure out a different way to get access to books. Social networking. I'm not talking about Facebook or Twitter. I'm talking about connecting with each other to form study groups, if that's what you need, or practice sessions, or I'm having a little bit of difficulty, or I need to do a project here, and I'm wondering, can we do our project together so we can be supporting each other as we're doing that? Communication. I need help. I'm going to be late with that assignment. I'm not able to be in class today. Your body odor is too strong. All of those are different kinds of communication that we're going to need to be able to engage in with each other. Initiative. Again, it might be, I need help. It might be, can you give me another resource? This is an area that I'm super interested in. And I feel like we didn't go over this as deeply in class for me as I want. Can you provide me some more information? Because I want to be more skilled in that area. Risk taking. It's a risk to show up to class. Sometimes it's a risk to be the person who's asking questions. Sometimes it's the risk to say no or stop. Or no, you may, I can't be your partner today. Sometimes it's the risk to go up to someone and say, will you be my partner today? Because you feel anxious about doing that. Studying skills. Not all of us have learned how to study effectively. For some people, studying means just flipping through the pages in the book and reading over and over, and that is not going to effectively work for the majority of people. Test taking can be a place where you're really struggling or you have struggled in the past. Just the thought of taking a test may make you so anxious that it's difficult to figure out how to take that test. These are all areas where we may have some skills or we may need some support. We put this in here so that you could be looking at this for yourself to see what is true. That for me, I've always been really good at study and test taking, time management and organization. I'm pretty solid at money management. You know, it's kind of social networking. I'm an introvert by nature. Communication, I'm a little bit better at. Initiative, I'm pretty good at. So if this were the wheel of the bike that I was riding on, what would that trip on the bike be like? It might be a little bit bumpy. But at least I know the areas where I might have a little bit more need for support from others. So it might be that I'm going to need to talk with friends or family and have them help me identify places where maybe I need to take a risk, but I could do it safely. Or maybe I'm going to talk with one trusted friend in class and have them cheer me on as I take a little risk in class. Maybe if studying is something that I'm really skilled at, and you know that studying is something I'm really good at, and you're not so good at it, you can take the risk of asking me for support. It's not that I need to develop all of these for myself. It's that I need to know where I stand, so that then as I'm working my way up this path, I know what I might need to rely on others for. This is where we're headed. Here. This is the path we're going to be working on to get up there. Here are the tools that we're going to need. So I would encourage you sometime in the next week to look at this for yourself. Really honestly, you don't need to show it to anybody else. Where are the areas where you already have skills and you're already going to be solid, and where are the areas where you might need some additional support in order to be able to successfully make it through this program to this place where clients come to you and they receive massage and they're feeling all of these things. I can see by Tina standing there at the doorway that my time is up. I will be back again later, it looks like at 12:30, to spend a little bit more time with you. I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm going to sneak out of here.